worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research, sponsored by HealthMasters.com. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day today. I have Dad again on the show with me, coming live from Montana. Oh, you guys are in Colorado now, correct?
Oh, we're moving, baby. We're about halfway through the country already. We're down here by Denver, and
right
outside of Denver, right next to Rocky Mountain National Park. And we'll be going to the park after we get done with the show today. But I knew once I got into the park, there wasn't going to be any service. So we stopped here by a little roadhouse diner and asked for permission if we could sit in their parking lot with a real strong cell signal. And they said, absolutely. So here we are.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Well, the first article I want to start off today with, all this Zika scare and everything that's going on now, they've already had one child now born in Miami that the mother was confirmed to be a full carrier of Zika. The child's 8 weeks old now. They're saying that she looks very normal, but the doctors are trying to say that she's not, even though there's not much going on. The mother contracted Zika like 2 months of pregnancy, so right at the beginning. The daughter, Michaela, that was born, has one eye that's slightly lazy and her arm is slightly stiff, which is not something that's super abnormal sometimes. They took to a team of doctors in the University of Miami, and they've ruled out several causes, and in part, her medical team and ultrasound has said that basically everything has looked normal. Right now, the plan is now to follow her for the next 5 to 6 years. Interesting part about this is that we've seen this giant manufactured scare now in the state of Florida about everybody being terrified about this Zika virus that's actually been around since the 70s, and the truth is the disease that it's called,
microcephaly.
Microcephalus, that's right. This wasn't really even shown at all from the Zika virus until just in the recent few years down in South America, and it happens to be that almost all those women that showed that with the children that basically were born with these shrunken heads were all exposed to these heavy, heavy pesticides, chemicals, and all of them were given all these different immunizations as well before they were pregnant and when they were pregnant. So, guys, understand that this whole Zika thing down here is being completely manufactured as scare, fear propaganda to try and increase the amount of vaccines they can add into the schedule now and to get people more and more terrified so they will be more willing to be basically subservient to the government and allow the government to control and protect them, which is exactly what they're trying to enforce now, which is complete and total nonsense.
We had John Rappaport on the show 5-6 months ago, and we went into detail on Zika and what a manufactured lie it was and how it's linked to pesticides and immunizations. And this is exactly what they're going to say now in Miami, because in 8 or 9 months from all the spraying they've done, women will be born with children that have microencephaly. They'll say it's from the Zika virus and actually it's from the spray. And that'll give them more reasoning to try to force us to have more spraying and more immunizations in the United States. This is one wicked, wicked group of people that are doing this. Here's an interesting article. Huma Abedin announced his separation from Anthony Weiner after latest sexting scandal. This is a story that happened a few years ago, and now it's just getting more and more headlines on it. Huma Abedin announced she will separate from her husband, Anthony Weiner, on Monday after fresh allegations of sexting revealed the former congressman had sent an explicit photo to another woman with their child in the background. Unbelievable pervert. Abedin, a longtime aide to Hillary Clinton, and many believe her lesbian lover, that's, by the way, is what's been rumored and written by a lot of people, stood by her husband's side when the former congressman resigned in 2011 after his habit of sending sexually explicit photos first became public. Weiner ran in 2013 for the New York City mayor, but his bid was derailed when he admitted that he had continued sexting other women even after his resignation from Congress. Weiner had not sought political office since and stayed home to take care of the couple's son while Abedin joined Clinton on the campaign trail. Now, this whole story is so weird. Number one, this is a microcosm of the Democratic Party right here. This is a microcosm, this is a cross-section of the perverts that we have in the Democratic Party. This Weiner guy likes to take pictures of his personal organs and text them to other women. Basically, I don't know what he's doing it for. It's kind of a weird sicko thing he's doing. I guess he's out there trolling, like Zig Ziglar used to say. Here's the crazy thing. His wife knows about it. She stays with him. Now she finally decides to leave him after he starts it all up again. But again, this shows you the total level of perversion and weirdness and sickness that is so invasive of the Democratic Party. It's crazy, Austin. It's absolutely nuts. Yesterday, we were in Jackson, Wyoming. I told you guys that we were going to be stopping there doing the show, and we basically went into a store afterwards, after I was done with the show, and I met with a young fella. He was in his early 20s, and he was from Czechoslovakia, and he was here for the summer working in the store. A really nice store, had a lot of really nice features there, like real nice place. And we started talking politics with him, and I started talking to him about what was happening in Europe, and he says that Czechoslovakia has banned the import of the Muslims into their country. They won't take any in there, and that they're arming their citizens now against an influx of the Muslims, and they're not going to tolerate it along with Hungary. And then he started talking about the American population and started talking basically how everybody in the world thinks the bulk of the American people are unbelievably stupid. Now, the craziest thing about all of this is, why in the world do the American people believe this, and why are they saying things like this? Why are the Europeans saying stuff like this when they know that basically the United States... Hang on a second, Harry Lawson. Your brother is calling me right now during a live radio broadcast, and all I'm getting is beeping, so forgive me if I sound a little stymied on this, what I'm saying right now.
Okay.
Harrison, the 17-year-old. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. He's 17. He knows I've got a live talk show right now. He's calling me during the talk show on my phone number, which is ridiculous. But anyhow, I'm back to the Wiener thing. But this is so ridiculous with the Democratic Party that these guys are doing stuff like this, and that they think this is okay, and that this is the pinnacle of the party with the aid to Clinton and Clinton's information. Now, here's something else that's also interesting. Apparently, according to Benjamin Fulford, now I agree with about 50% of what this guy says. The other 50%, he's so far out there that he doesn't really make any sense. He's saying that one of the primary reasons that Hillary Clinton has stopped her campaigning and going into public is that there's a whole group of people now who have had enough. These are the ones out of Russia and out of China. There's a whole group of people that have put a bounty on her head for her to be arrested and tried in international court, and that she's afraid that she's going to be arrested and tried. Now, whether that's true or not, I'm telling you the source. I told you 50% of what he says usually comes true, or I agree with. But this is how messed up this entire situation has gotten. Everybody's had enough of the Rothschild banking cartel monopoly in the world and the power brokers that are. And so that's what I thought was interesting. They said that this lady, this human, was basically going to be following Hillary into the campaign trail now, and Hillary's not doing any campaigns. The only thing she has available to her right now is, that's Harrison calling on the other phone now. So, sorry guys, having a 17-year-old. And so, start doing your next story, Austin. I'm pretty frustrated, right? I'm going to call Harrison and talk to him for a second.
All right, I'll take over here. And one thing that we've seen, you know, that I was talking about, the manufactured fear that they do here, is they want the population now, they're pushing further and further for us to be completely reliant on the government. This couldn't be any more true than what we've seen them do in Louisiana. Louisiana is a southern state. They're very, very self-sufficient. Those people down there are very tough and very strong, even though they just got hit with one of the worst floods in like 500 years of recorded flood history. So basically, they decided to start doing stuff themselves. And you can see videos online. The Cajun Navy, which is a loosely organized group of basically fishers, hunters, boaters, guides, militia, all these guys together, came together and started rescuing people that were trapped by the flood. Initially, the local sheriff's department was reluctant to accept help, which of course they always are. They don't want anybody getting involved to help anybody. But they became so overwhelmed so fast, they realized they had to completely let these guys do what they needed to do. And of course, they did an incredibly good job. Locals that were not affected started bringing in basically food and clothing and donating more food. They made just about everybody in America feel, you know, prideful for Americans coming together. And they were so effective at their own free market local disaster relief that they rendered the government assistance all but useless and unnecessary. So, of course, what we've been seeing now is the government does not want its citizens to realize they're perfectly capable of helping each other and coming together in a unified manner and supporting one another. They basically, when became They began helping people. This is what the government came in now, by forcing people. This is great. This is awesome here. Struggling to rebuild their houses now to purchase building and repair permits. That's right. They force people to ask permission for the right to repair their own property now. The guy even sitting here, Justin Dupuy, the blithering idiot building office inspector in Baton Rouge, said, "We haven't suspended any of our requirements for permitting. Before they start making any repairs, they need to call in and check with us and see what they need to get." Now, by some nice grace, they went ahead and waived reconstruction permits now from local offices, although the permits themselves are still mandatory, and if you don't have one, you will eventually be fined. This is how loopy the government has gotten now, that there's tens of thousands of people that are completely out of homes. There's thousands of people coming down there to help as many people as they can, and they want you to get a stinking building permit to ask permission if you can rebuild your home that's completely waterlogged. That's not enough either. They also decided to start charging basically member fees and taxes on the Cajun Navy before they were allowed to rescue people. The group of volunteers, the Cajun Navy, they were using their own boats, risking their own lives. They basically were told they had to pay a fee before they were allowed to do anything else. The legislators claimed, "Don't worry, it's just a small fee, maybe only $50. That would be worth it to put authority behind the Cajun Navy, wouldn't it?" When the Cajun Navy member said, "Absolutely not, we're not giving you a dime," the government wanted to basically come in and intervene further. They deployed the police to prevent Good Samaritans from helping them. Perry said that if members of the Cajun Navy continue on without legislation, this is the Louisiana State Senator Jonathan Perry, this is his words right now, I'm quoting him. He said that if members of the Cajun Navy continue on without legislation, they will be stopped by law enforcement officials from rescuing residents past police barricades. Under current state law, citizens who cross police perimeters are breaking the law and could face punishment. So now they want to start arresting these guys for going out of their way, doing what they do. Remember, Louisiana guys is a swamp. They're in the water all the time. They're completely used to this. It's like living in the Everglades, the same thing we have down here in Florida. The Red Cross also is not to be without blame either. Beth Yancey Hooten, who's a local woman down there, wrote in and said they will never volunteer or donate to the Red Cross ever again. She said the Red Cross has come in and taken over the shelters, start refusing clothing, donations, and other various volunteer services unless they are previously contracted. And what does that mean? She said, well, 60 boxes of donuts were discarded this morning by the Red Cross because the delivery vendor did not have a contract with them. They simply were donating the leftover donuts. Hot meals were also refused because the entity providing them wasn't contracted, and medical supplies, including medications, were trashed for the exact same reason. Clothes then were donated and needed to be left on the street unless they were furnished and brought in by Red Cross and approved first. And Nancy Malone, the spokesperson for American Red Cross, even admitted this and said, liabilities to feeding people doesn't come from certified vendors. So we need to make sure we offer food that is, you know, basically from vendors and is certified. So we've had to turn away hot meals. If you came in today and you said you had 5,000 meals to offer, well, we already had food delivered today. Let's find a way to arrange for you to help in another way, or you can try and come back on a different day. This is complete and total lunacy down there. Permits to rebuild your house, fines if people go out and save individuals that are used to living in a swamp, Red Cross throwing food out if they don't allow it and it's not contracted by a certain contractor who's getting paid. Remember, guys, the government's already done this all across the country. They've made almost all wood-burning stoves illegal. They've made it illegal to collect rainwater in a lot of states. Living off the grid is almost completely illegal in a lot of Maine states. In some areas, you can't even camp on your own land. The only thing the government did in Louisiana, guys, was make lives more difficult by forcing residents to get permission to go about and rescue and rebuild their state. This is the prime example of why we need smaller government, we need less involvement from them, and we need to let the American population come together like we've done for almost 300 years and support one another and take care of one another like we do every time, instead of relying on this blithering idiot government that's gone completely rogue and cannot handle themselves unless they're getting a penny out of everybody's pocket. It nauseates me what they're doing down there in Louisiana. And I just wanted to bring that up to let everybody know, guys, what they're doing and how they're treating people down there, just to give everybody a heads up on how out of control our government's gone now. Man.
Awesome.
Anyway.
Excellent analogy. Well said. I couldn't have said it any better myself. Almost hard to believe. But this is what the government always requires. They always come in. They always want more and more regulation. I remember when I was in graduate school at Florida State University, and they would put us on committees to work on projects together, and a project that should require like a half-page report would turn into a 50- or 60-page report with just more and more bureaucratic nonsense tied together with it. I also remember going into state offices when I was working there in Tallahassee, and I remember seeing just literally hundreds of women on floors sitting there filing their fingernails and polishing their fingernails or chit-chatting with each other and doing absolutely nothing. Because remember, with the Peter principles, as levels of management increase, you have levels of massive inefficiency occurs. And this is exactly what it is. Instead of getting in a boat and just rescuing people, now you have to have a permit to get in the boat to rescue people. That's complete and total stupidity. Now, I mean, how many people are going to die while they're waiting on the permit? But this is the way the government works. I remember years ago when you were born, they were just starting to regulate midwives. And the midwives had been trained. They knew exactly how to deliver babies. They had thousands of babies delivered. And I think Charlene, who did the baby, did your delivery 28 years ago, I think the fee was like $800 or $900 is what it cost. Well, the government came in and said they're going to now regulate midwives and have to get basically licensed to be a midwife. And after they got licensed to be a midwife, they said, you guys are basically charging a lot less than OBGYNs are to deliver babies. So now what we're going to do is we're going to re-regulate this, and you're going to have to charge at least $5,000 to deliver a baby instead of doing it for $800 or $900, because you're putting these OBGYNs out of business. And see, every time the government gets involved and they say they're going to license you or they're going to tax you or require a permit, it's because they're trying to exercise control over you and put their boot on your throat. That's what this whole thing's about. Remember, when permit is being given, that means you're getting permission from the government to do something to your own property. Remember this, guys. When we lost the right to have free and owned property without taxation on the property, we lost the right of free ownership. In other words, if you don't pay your taxes on your property, you'll see very quickly who owns that property. It's the government. They basically give it to you as long as you pay the taxes. When you no longer pay the taxes, they take it away from you. We used to not have that. That was changed. We used to actually have, you have land grants where you come in and you would never have to pay taxes to the government. All that's gone because the states had to come in and raise income, pay for taxes. I know down there in some of the police departments down there in Miami that are so corrupt, they're spending thousands and thousands of dollars a day in tax money just for the officers to be on vacation. It's nonsense. The reality is this. We need less government. Ronald Reagan tried to tell us that. He tried to reduce the size of government. As soon as he got out of office, George Bush put it all back together again, because again, George Bush was a globalist. Remember his little 1,000 points of light speech back in 91? All of a sudden, 10 years later, the 9/11 trade towers come down. It's all planned by the numbers. Remember, guys, these guys are what they call numerologists, Kabbalists. That's what they are. Everything's by the numbers. They're sorcerers and wizards who run this thing. They're all working with witchcraft and black magic and Satanism. That's how the whole thing is run. They're run through the astrology and the numbers and the star charts. That's why they have certain dates for certain things to happen. Certain numbers have special significance on these guys. And apparently the numbers weren't lining up for the people to be rescued in the right way, Austin. So they decided to start charging them and taxing them to save people's lives. I mean, you know, you hear some stupid stuff sometimes, but this just blows my mind that they're doing this. Speaking of stupid stuff, here's another one. This is from Breitbart. Bill Clinton is now saying that we need to rebuild Detroit with Syrian refugees. In a previous little notice, this is amazing. In a previously little notice video from February, the Clinton Global Initiative, former President Bill Clinton, probably dying of AIDS, I added that, suggested that the U.S. use Syrian refugees to rebuild Detroit. The truth is the big loser over time as long as it's going to be Syria. This is an enormous opportunity for Americans. I guess I've spoken dope again. Bill Clinton said about the Syrian immigrant crisis. Detroit has 10,000 empty structurally sound houses, 10,000, and a lot of jobs that need to be repairing those houses. Okay, I'm going to stop here because this is so stupid. I can't even read the rest of this. Number one, these guys are coming out of mud huts. These guys are coming out of shacks. These guys are coming out of shanties. These guys don't even know how to use a stinking toilet. They had to be trained in Germany how to use a toilet and flush it. They were pooping on the streets. They were pooping in flower beds. They were pooping in people's lawns. Now, we think they're bringing in people that are skilled laborers, plumbers, electricians, sheetrock guys, and carpenters and roofing experts to come in and rebuild the homes in Detroit. This guy is so stupid and so drugged out of his mind that if he would even say something like this and actually believe it, he's lost his mind. He's completely and totally gone over to the dark side. How in the world does he believe that the Syrian people that we have coming into the United States are going to be capable from a skill set of repairing the houses in Detroit? And secondly, okay, we have them, they come in, they repair the houses in Detroit. Now who hires them? Where else do they live? How do they earn a living? How do they get their bills paid? How do they eat? How do they get to school? How do they do anything else? The infrastructure of Detroit has now just massively increased with a non-taxpayer entity. So they no longer have the money to maintain the infrastructure as it is. So now we're going to add all these new people in Syria and bring them into Detroit and even put further burdens on the Detroit infrastructure that is run by a bunch of socialist Democrats who have no idea how to get out of the rain, but let's create jobs. When I read this morning, Austin, between the Wiener story, the thing in Louisiana story that you gave, and this story, I thought, it's a mad, mad world. This whole thing's going upside down. It's unbelievable to me that anybody thinks that any of this is okay, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're right. I mean, it was when you were just saying that was the first thing I thought in my mind. And I was like, wait, do they really think that 10,000 refugees out of Syria are going to be very, very skilled laborers at putting on roofs, at redoing sheetrock, at redoing irrigation, redoing electrical work? I mean, what do they expect these guys to do? And what you just said as well, after they fix all these houses that Bill Clinton has all these projects for him to do over there, what in the world are they going to do further? The reason why there's so many houses that are empty and vacant in Detroit is because so many people have left the city because there is no work left up there, and the booming, bustling Detroit that it once was is no longer there. All the jobs have basically gone overseas. So what are these people going to do when they're there now after they've been paid to fix their own houses that they're now living in? What are they going to do for income? So on top of that, all this is another ploy to try and bring in more refugees. That's all this is, because I can't imagine, even as idiotic and as drugged out as Clinton has become, that he even thinks that's a really true viable idea that has any type of long-term positive effects at all. Michigan now has turned into, up there in Dearborn, Michigan, up in Minnesota, all those areas up there now are turning into complete and total Muslim hotspots. I was at the alignment shop today getting Lana's 4Runner tires rotated in the line, and there was a guy sitting there. I was talking to him, and of course we got on the topic of Trump, and I mean he was wide awake, and he goes, yeah, I talked to him about what's going on in Germany. He knew everything was going on in Germany. He said the problem is, he goes, it's already happened here in the United States, bud. He goes, up in Michigan, up in Minnesota, he goes, they already have cities now that they fully implemented Sharia law and Sharia courts. Nobody wants to talk about it. He said his sister lives up there in Minnesota, and they have a town up there that is completely full of Muslims. Nobody lives there unless they're Muslims, or else they're essentially run out by all the Muslims there. If the women go there, they harass them so horrifically that they leave immediately. Nobody even goes into this town because it's completely and totally Sharia law Muslim, and nobody even wants to talk about it on the media. So, yes, in my opinion, that's exactly what Clinton's trying to promote, is they're trying to fill that region up, because if they can fill that region up, that Michigan, that Minnesota, all those top northern regions up there, they can let them start trickling down and fan down to the other southern states to try and invade us with their stupid Islamic ideology, and that's all they're trying to do now, and they're doing a very good job at it. That's why I'm so adamant about Trump trying to reduce the amount of immigration and make sure people are coming here that want to come here and want to do something positive. because the illegal immigration has gotten out of control. There's an article now from a from all these judges now. Judges are now given basically de facto amnesty to about a third of illegals charged with crimes now. American immigration courts now are allowing 1 in 3 illegal immigrants charged with serious crimes like rape and drunk driving to roam free. Immigration judges released 33% of over 5,530 illegal aliens charged with crimes since October 1st, 2015, not even a year ago. That is the highest percentage since 1998. They're not even giving them legal status. They're just letting them stay here. It's essentially de facto amnesty. If an immigration judge decides not to order a person's deportation, the illegal immigrant may stay in the U.S. after serving any prison time for any charge determined in a criminal court. This is what's going on now. It's gotten crazier and crazier and crazier with this immigration. Denver, Colorado, speaking of that, where you guys are right now, has the absolute worst number for illegal immigration de facto amnesty. They've allowed nearly 86% of illegal immigrants charged with crimes to stay in the country. Arlington, Texas ranks number 2 as they've allowed 81.3%. Portland and Seattle are in a close second behind it. This is what's going on now. We're not just taking people in and letting them stay here. We're letting criminals, full-blown criminals, charged with manslaughter, rape, armed robbery, home invasion, you name it. These guys got a rap sheet as long as your arm. They're getting charged with this. They're going to prison for 5, 10, 15 years. They're coming out, and they're not even being deported. They're just being released on the streets. That's why we're seeing these crime waves, like in Texas, people finding bodies that are dismembered and burnt with their limbs completely severed off them in Texas now. This is the type of ideology these people have that are coming out of these countries that are involved in this type of crime. And I'm not singling out people that are coming from South America or Mexico, because as Dad and I have talked before, I've known a lot of people that have come here that have worked hard, been in the American dream, brought it up, brought their family here, and done an incredibly good job at supporting the American dream and the American population with taxpayer money like we all do as our part. But what these guys are doing here is complete and total nightmare. Anybody that comes here from another country that gets charged with murder or rape or home invasion and goes to prison here, and we're allowing them to go back on the street after they get out still is de facto amnesty illegal aliens, is a complete and total nightmare in my opinion. That's why Trump has been so strong about it. All these people running around with these picketing signs saying, oh, they want to kick everybody out. They want to deport everybody here in the United States. That's complete and total lie from the media depicted to make Trump look like a racist, which he is not. He doesn't want people coming here doing exactly what they're doing in these other states that are allowing them to go free after they get charged with these vicious crimes and have no type of recourse at all, except they get to stay here and get more free government welfare and subsidies for basically being criminals. That's what he's about, that's what I'm about, and that's what majority of the American population is about now, too. We don't want this anymore. We're not going to take it, and that's that.
Well, another excellent rant. Well done. Years ago, I told you, I went to a park, and I've told you this story before, and there was a doggone pit viper, a rattlesnake on the sidewalk with a bunch of kids walking by it, and the kids were like barefoot going to the beach. I grabbed the stick to kill this rattlesnake, and the park guy came out screaming at me, telling me I was going to be arrested. That's exactly what this is. This is they brought the rattlesnakes among us. It's exactly what they did in Yellowstone. They brought the wolves among all the gang. What they're doing is they get these agendas going to destroy everything, and we're supposed to sit back and just watch and not say anything. If you say anything, you're a racist. If you don't like the color of the car they drive, you're a racist. If you don't like the color of the sign they're holding, you're a racist. If you don't like anything that they say about anything, you're a racist. If you're against abortion, you're a racist. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And remember, this whole conspiracy stuff, which they're trying to label us all as conspiracy theorists now, started back in the 60s with the CIA after the Warren Commission released that bogus report on the Kennedy assassination. If you want to know what happened with Kennedy, watch the video from 9/11, from JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. I've promoted that for years now on the show. From JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. And when the Warren Commission came out with this stupid story how bullets made U-turns and went through somebody's body twice,
you know, these crazy, nutty stories they came out with, and nobody believed it. They started labeling you as a conspiracy theorist if you wear a little tinfoil hat and you're nuts. See, this is the problem. Now, all they've got to do, they burnt that into everybody's mind now for 50 years. So now all they have to do is say, oh, he's a conspiracy theory. He's a nut. Okay, well, now that makes you a nut. Okay, because everybody thinks that they say if you're labeled that, that you're crazy. Sadly, the vast majority of the population now knows the truth, and the conspiracy theory label, you know, for them is no longer sticking. So now we're all beginning to realize, hey, wait a minute, we've been sold a bill of goods. Just maybe John F. Kennedy was murdered by the CIA. Oh, my goodness, how about that? Maybe George H. was involved. Oh, how about that? Maybe Lyndon Johnson, which we know was involved. How about that? Are you kidding me? Kennedy said he was getting rid of the CIA. Kennedy said he was going to be starting to print congressional money again with Executive Order 11110, getting rid of the Fed. He said there was a great conspiracy out there and a great secret society that was basically operating outside of the government protocols, and he said that the secrecy was repugnant in a free society, and he was going to expose all of this stuff. Well, a couple months later, he's dead. This is how they act. This is what they do. You either march to their gang, or they take you out. Now, with Trump, I thought about this the other night. If he wins the election, he's going to be very, very careful for his children and for his family's safety, Austin. Because when Ross Perot was running for president, he said the reason he got out the first time, which he regretted having done, is that his family had been threatened with death, and they had told him they were going to kill his wife and his child and his kids and his son. I mean, they told him this. So he said, I basically got scared, I want my family to die, and I pulled myself out of the race. Of course, he lost the momentum. And of course, you know, that gave Clinton the White House, blah, blah, blah. That's how it all was manipulated. But guys, we've got to pray for Trump. We've got to stand firm in the faith and pray for him that this whole thing with the whole globalist is going to continue to be exposed. And quite frankly, also, I mean, today I got stopped in traffic for 25 minutes because of road construction. I mean, we stopped. 25 minutes. Well, I was the first person to line, so the guy holding the sign walks over to me and starts talking to me. He's so bored, he was waiting 25 minutes before, you know, because the law is a 6-mile delay, it's 25 minutes before, between stops. So he starts talking to me, so I asked him, I said, who are you voting for? He said, we're voting for Trump. This is Colorado, we're voting for Tom Trump. I said, well, a lot of people in Colorado don't vote for Trump. He goes, well, that's because they don't know what's going on. He goes, what's happening with the globalists and everything that's going on locally and in the world right now is awful. We've got to get Trump in. We can't put Hillary in. He starts it on me, the guy holding the sign. Okay? And he was a really, and strangely, he was extremely awake and educated, which I thought, wow, you know, he should be doing something besides holding a sign. But here's the point I'm trying to make. We're making a difference. Alex Jones is making a difference. I mean, I told you the other day, I was at the Three Dog Down place outside of Whitefish in Polson, Montana, and we walked into the store, the guy starts talking politics with me and gives me a Hillary for Prison t-shirt. I mean, and he was wearing the same shirt he did in the store, and I said, well, don't you think that'll offend anybody? He goes, if they don't like the t-shirt that says Hillary for Prison, they can leave the store and not buy anything. I don't care. I'm the owner. I do what I want here. And I went, okay, well, gotta give you credit for that. And he starts telling all kinds of jokes that are basically, they're not politically correct anymore. I started laughing at him. I said, dude, you're old school. He says, well, he's 61 years old. He's my age. And he goes, I've had it. He goes, I've watched this country go right down the sewer in the last 40 years. And he goes, I'm not going to put up with it anymore. He goes, the last few years of my life, I'm going to stand up for what I know is right. And more people, Austin, are starting to do that. And more people are beginning to realize that if we don't stand up for what's right, we're going to lose the whole country. It's going to all go down. It's going to go down right down the chute. What's your next story, buddy?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is interesting now, too. The UN election monitors are going to oversee the U.S. election now in much higher numbers than we saw 4 years ago. A swarm of hundreds of United Nations-linked international election monitors, what they're calling them, will descend on the United States this year to supervise and monitor America's election. The horde of international bureaucrats for the November elections will be 10 times larger than the smaller monitoring mission that sparked a national uproar in 2012. If you remember 2012, they were called the Organization for Security and Cooperation. they deployed a few dozen election observers to the United States as part of a limited mission. And this is how the UN works. They always start real, real small to see the pushback they get. This sparked an immediate and massive uproar among Americans. I remember when this happened. Indeed, the backlash was so fierce that Texas leaders threatened to arrest and prosecute the outfit's agents for violation of state law. The consensus in Texas was clear. Stay out. UN-related voting monitors warned. Don't mess with us, they said. They said, bring it, what Texas said. And so what's happening now is the UN is slowly, slowly, slowly trying to bring in their unbelievably sick, perverted Agenda 21 ideology in the United States. Their entire goal of everything is to do exactly what we've talked about, to bring in this global control, this tiny fraction where everybody lives in these tiny little areas, and they're bringing in the UN now to oversee our voting process. My question is, why the heck is it their business how we handle our votes? It's the United Nations, not the United States of America. They are not related to us whatsoever. They do not even need to be in this country whatsoever. But this goes to show you a lot of stuff we've started seeing, like on Dave Hodges' site, with the United Nations vehicles, the big white MRAP armored trucks driving around on the back of these trucks. All this stuff is starting to make sense now. In 2012, it was around 25 to 30 UN observers. This year, it's going to be around 350 to 400 observers. It's getting larger and larger and larger to the point now where we'll start seeing UN troops to do security. We'll start seeing UN observers in every type of security area. All this stuff is slowly being brought upon the American public because they know if they bring this in one fell swoop, there's no way the American population would ever deal with it. We would have a massive revolt immediately. So they're trying to phase it in as slow as possible as the older generation starts phasing out. That way this newer, younger generation is going to basically accept it and think it's okay for these people to be here monitoring the United States. We don't need anybody in this country that needs to monitor us that is not from this country. That is a fact, and that's one thing I hope most people understand and are very vocal about this. If any of these UN monitors start showing up at voting polls and election areas, that's my take on it. I guess we'll have to watch and see what happens.
Well, again, what it is, it's the sovereignty of the United States being given away piece by piece. It's, you know, we're going under a United Nations, one world government. That's the whole goal of George Bush and the Nazi boys. That's what they want. They want us underneath that one world government, and that's what they're planning on doing. Remember, you know, George Bush's grandfather, this is H. Bush, George W.'s father, Prescott Bush, he was such good friends with Hitler. Hitler gave them the cutlery from the German, from one of Hitler's cutlery sets. I mean, this is like the Nazi Hitler's forks and spoons and knives. And the boys at Yale at Skull and Bone still use that cutlery on honored occasions to bring honor to Hitler and to their work that they're doing with Skull and Bones. I mean, this stuff is so weird, Austin, that you'd have to make it up in a novel if it is true. I mean, it's the craziest stuff you've ever heard. Here's what I was just talking about. MSNBC plays a fried chicken ad instead of Hillary's racism speech clip. The American Mirror, MSNBC host Alex Witt wanted to play a clip of Hillary accusing Donald Trump of being a racist, but instead it aired a Kentucky Fried Chicken ad. Witt was talking to Cornell William Brooks of the NAACP on Saturday when he teed up a portion of Hillary's speech. As you know, Hillary Clinton says Trump's campaign appealing to a fringe in the Republican Party that are racist. I want to say what I just said. Everybody's a racist. I want you to listen to part of her speech with you and get your reaction. So here it is, which said inexplicably the KFC ad with the NBCN graphic still on the screen. In other words, they preempted it. It's crazy. Another article. Trump is recruiting an army of observers to go against the UN to prevent rigged elections. This is from Steve Watson. GOP nominee Donald Trump is actively recruiting supporters in order to form an army of election observers to monitor polls at every precinct on election day and ensure that voter fraud is prevented and exposed. A section has been added to Trump's campaign website describing how supporters can get more information and sign up to be a volunteer Trump election observer. Help me stop crooked Hillary from reading this election, the page reads. Hope you people can sort this is just crazy. And to go around and make sure which polls are in the polling place to make 100% fine, Mr. Trump said at a rally in Pennsylvania earlier this month, adding that the only way he can lose Hillary Clinton in a stronghold state is if there's cheating. Trump has warned supporters several times that the election could be rigged, prompting the media and the Clinton campaign to label him as pathetic, dangerous, reflexive, conspiracy theorist. Here we go. What I tell you,
yep.
What they said in 1967 with the Warren Commission. Trump has specifically pointed to the fact that in the past fortnight, five courts in five states have ruled against voter ID and proof of citizenship laws. Trump said he is worried that decisions will lead to widespread voter fraud. Here are the two articles I've read you. You're a racist and you're a conspiracy theorist. This is all they have to say anymore, Austin. They've run out of ammunition. You're a racist and a conspiracy theorist if you believe there's something wrong with the federal government, if you don't think it's okay to bring a bunch of jihadist Muslims into the United States. And the only reason that the United States has not had what Germany has had is this. Germany is the size of the state of Texas. That's the entire country, the size of the state of Texas. You can drive across it in a day, easily in a day. That's what Germany is. It's the size of the state of Texas. We are huge. The United States, monstrous. So they introduced Sharia law courts in Minnesota or in Detroit. We don't hear about it down south because the country is so big and the media won't cover it. If we basically knew all of the Muslim penetration that we had right now in the United States, I think we would all be shocked, Austin. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. I think everybody would be. That's why I was talking earlier, you know, to that guy when I was in the lineman place, he was saying that because, and the media, remember the media, we already know the media is completely and totally corrupt. I mean, majority of all the mainstream media. So they're not going to do articles on this. They're not going to touch base on this. You may have a local mainstream news outlet that's very small that may touch base on it, but no large mainstream media is going to touch on it at all because it doesn't fit the agenda. And what's funny to me is, like you said earlier, their mags are empty. They're completely out of ammo. The only thing they have to do now is call everybody a racist conspiracy theorist if you disagree with anything they say. That's pretty much all they have now, and that's because nobody takes them seriously anymore. In other news now, this is very strange. As we know, the chemtrail sprain is real. We know the U.S. government signed a treaty in 1977 prohibiting the use of weather modification as a weapon of war, yet we still see the chemtrails, yet we've done our own water testing and know the aluminum and barium levels are completely abnormally high. So we know this isn't a conspiracy theory, even though everybody calls it that. What's interesting now is the U.S. Air Force has recently revealed a technology plan that they're wanting to basically implement now here shortly to detonate plasma bombs in the Earth's upper atmosphere using a fleet of satellites to improve the range of radio communications, they claim. The Air Force says it will use CubeSats to carry enormous amounts of ionized gas into the ionosphere in an effort to develop radio-reflecting plasma. The department says it has granted the contracts to three research teams and hope they will use the technology. They said that radio signal communications can be improved. However, by sending massive amounts of ionized gas in the ionosphere, it will allow them to create radio-reflective plasma. If this works, researchers must develop a plasma generator small enough to fit on a CubeSat, and they find a way to control the plasma disbursement once it's been released. Right, okay. An ongoing project of the University of Maryland now is working to develop a plan that would heat metal by detonating a small bomb used to create the electrical energy. So this just goes to show you guys that people, that they're admitting this. U.S. Air Force is admitting now they're planning on doing this, which they've probably already been doing it if they're admitting they want to do it now. So to show you this and to say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory that they're spraying aluminum and barium into the air, that's nonsense. They wouldn't do that. But they definitely are admitting that they would use basically ionized gas that detonated into the ionosphere now to help with radio frequency. Completely and totally ridiculous. We see what they're doing with the weather. We see what they're doing with the government. We see what they're doing with the food. This is all coming together now is an overall global control so they can get everybody into a new world order, Agenda 2030. That's all this breaks down to. What do you think about this with the Air Force? You think they've already been doing this, Dev?
Well, I covered this in detail on our show and also on Hagman's show several months ago.
Okay.
What they're doing is they're using reflective compounds in the atmosphere to boost the signals through the radar and through the scalar radar weapon systems. This is part of the military domain. You also have the CIA domain with the chemtrails and the Morgellons and all the other things they're spraying on us. We're basically a bunch of lab rats.
Yeah.
Fallen angels, to be honest with you. That's what it's all boiling down to. These, whatever these entities are that are controlling these upper world politics. And they're basically terraforming the planet, and they're also changing our DNA. And when they change our DNA because of epigenetics, it changes our DNA that we pass on to our children. That's what epigenetics does. If something horrible happens to you, you know, at a certain age, it may happen to your offspring at that same age. I mean, it's just really weird how you actually burn a hole in the genetic code with this kind of stuff. And it's been proven over and over and over in the study of epigenetics. Now they're changing us. They're changing our DNA with GMO foods. They're changing our DNA with the chemtrails. They're spraying all kinds of Morgellons nonsense on us. All this bacteria, this cross-domain species that's got plant, insect, and animal combined together, forming a Morgella antenna, which gets inside the body for transmitting radio signals from your DNA and to control your state of mind going through your central nervous system. And I've gone into detail on all of this stuff. But it's all part of the same package. Now they're admitting to it that they're doing this, but they've been doing this. They've been doing this for decades. It's been decades. Again, a lot of this technology is from Tesla, and a lot of the technology they're using to implement Tesla technology was back engineered from the spacecraft that crashed in 1947 in Roswell. Don't believe it? Don't believe it. It's okay. I didn't believe it until I read Colonel Corso's book and I read The Money Mafia by Helluride. I always questioned all of this stuff, but you have to realize, guys, you got to wrap your head around this thing sooner or later. Call them what you want to call them. These off-world entities, these fallen angels, whatever you want to call them, are just, they're not here because they like us. They're here because they're trying to turn the planet back into Genesis chapter 6. When Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, so shall be when I return. These guys created a planet that everybody's thought in mind and every thought of every man was evil all of the time. That's what the Word of God said. And they were there before and after the flood. So to think that we're the only species on this planet or on this in this universe doesn't make any sense. When we know the Bible very clearly talks about legions of angels and a war in the heavens that these things came down. I mean, the Bible talks about it, okay? And they're not human beings. the angels showed up repeatedly through the Old Testament, showed up at the tomb of Jesus, showed up at the, you know, when Jesus was born. I mean, what do you think this is talking about? You think they're talking about somebody floating around with wings? I mean, this is... They're talking about off-world entities, okay? There was a war in the heavenly. You know, God created the heavens and the earth, the entire universe. He doesn't have to get our permission if he wants to create another species or subspecies or another race of something else. It's not part of what he has to check in with us to do. But human beings just think that we are just the only people on the entire planet, the only people in the universe, and other countries now like Russia, and England, they're talking more openly about the problem associated with extraterrestrials and flying saucers and other alien spacecraft. And by the way, one of the things the chemtrails also do, they help to detect off-world propulsion technology in our ionosphere. So there's all kinds of factors that are used to determine what type of chemtrails and when they're spraying it, and also it uses in the scalar weapon radar system and ground-penetrating wave radar. It gives them a much clearer picture on their weapons monitors. So, yes, the military's been doing this for a long, long time, Austin. It's not something they started last week, buddy. What's your next story?
Yeah, no, it is interesting to see what they're doing here. This one yesterday, you know, I talked about a lot of the antidepressant stuff, and this is another article that I wanted to pull back up because of what we've seen now with the massive, massive overprescription with depression medications, antidepressants. Remember, back in 2001, SmithKline published a trial known as Study 329, which claimed that the drug known as Paxil was generally well-tolerated and it cured depression in children and adolescents. This led to over 2 million kids being prescribed the medication in the next year alone. And remember, they reanalyzed the study by a team of independent researchers this time and showed the drug was no more effective than the placebo at all, and that the risk of harm was significant, with at least 12 out of 93 children taking the drug developing aggressive suicidal thoughts. GlaxoSmithKline was fined billion dollars for one of the biggest frauds in American healthcare history. The reason why I brought this up is because of what we're seeing now, what I was talking about yesterday with our veterans coming back. Instead of discussing healthy options for them, healthy diets, healthy nutritional supplements to go on, they immediately handle and peddle these guys a whole bottle of pills with another whole bottle of pills with a whole another bottle of pills to counteract the side effects from the other two bottle of pills. And now what's interesting is a recent study now is showing that these research studies that they do for these pharmaceutical antidepressants are complete and totally bogus. The Journal of Clinical, They published, they evaluated 185 meta-analyses and found that one-third of them were written by pharma industry employees, and they said they were 22 times more likely to have negative statements about a drug than an unaffiliated researcher. And then in 2006, studies examining industry impact on clinical trials of psychiatric medication, industry-sponsored trials reported favorable outcomes almost 80% of the time compared to 48% of the time in independently funded trials. This means that almost all the time, over three-quarters of the time, when the industry, meaning GlaxoSmithKline, sponsored the trial for Paxil, they always had a positive outcome compared to less than half when it was independently funded. This goes to show you that these medications are not what you think they are, and you really need to make sure you do your research before you start taking these SSRIs or really any medications in general. Know what you're taking before you put it in your body. Read the warnings on the side of the box. Understand what it's going to do to you and what a lot of the common side effects are and even what the not-so-common side effects are, because a lot of this stuff is not worth taking in the first place. You need to understand that. You have a choice. You have a responsibility to know what you're putting in your body. Don't just trust somebody because they have a lab coat on and they're telling you you need to start taking this pill and ingest it every single day. Do your own research. Use your brain. Use your head. God gave all of us a wonderful, magnificent, beautiful brain to use, and we need to start using it instead of just relying on somebody else to tell us what we need to put in our body without even knowing how our body is going to react. We know how we respond better than anybody else. We are made in God's image. Fact that. So you have to understand that you need to know what this stuff is going to do to you and what the side effects are before you start popping all these pills and then wonder why 2 or 3 weeks later you're incredibly suicidal. Do your research first, and also do your research for your family or friends that maybe get involved with this stuff. It's so important because we keep hearing about the suicide stuff all the time, and it's not getting any better, guys. So do your due diligence and know what you're putting in your body before you put it in there.
Well, quite frankly, a person who's suicidal is not really worried about reproducing or having children. A person who's suicidal will be quickly gone if they kill themselves. That's part of a global plan, isn't it? It's going to be population reduction. So they really don't care if people kill themselves. It's just more useless eaters to get rid of, to coin a phrase. And that's how they look at it. They don't really care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about any of us. All they care about is what their agenda is and what they can do, what they can manipulate, and how much profit they're going to make. That's all they care about. That's all they have ever cared about. And this is the whole thing that the Bible talks about, that the root of the love of money is the root of all evil. And again, when they go to these research organizations like at major universities and they tell them, we're going to give you a $10 million research grant to study this drug, but we want to have a favorable finding on this drug if you want to continue to get additional grants, it skews the entire way it is set up. I mean, I remember years ago when they were doing the aspartame studies as far as brain tumors and brain cancers with rats. And they made the aspartame in these chunks by itself that tasted unbelievably bad with the rat food, and the rats simply did not eat the aspartame chunks, so they didn't develop brain cancers. They refused to eat the poison. I mean, that's how they do it. And all of a sudden they say, well, these control group of rats didn't get brain cancer. The group that was fed the aspartame, they didn't get the brain cancer. But they never discussed the fact that the control group that was supposed to eat the aspartame never ate the aspartame. So you get a neutral study that way. But in every study that was done by people who did not get paid to find out what they wanted them to find, it showed the product caused brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headache, optic nerve degradation. In one primate study, every single monkey that was given aspartame developed grand mal epileptic seizures. I mean, this is what the product really does. But they don't want you to know that because
Why would they? Because it's a brain entrainment molecule. It's a dopamine trigger, and it makes you have short-term memory loss. You forget what you saw on TV last night, or if you're listening to my show or Austin's show or any other alternative radio show, you forget what you heard on that show yesterday because your brain's shot. See, that's what it's all about. It's about manipulating the population of the planet to do their bidding, Austin, and that includes everything. Genetics, epigenetics, glyphosate, poisons, SSRIs, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, tricyclic antidepressants, all of these things have horrible, horrible side effects until you realize that and get your head wrapped around it and realize there's all kinds of natural alternatives to brain health. We've got the Healthy Brain Care Program at our website on healthmasters.com. Now, I'm going to let you finish, Austin, real quick. I know we're almost out of time. But, guys, thank you so much. I should be back with you guys again tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Last night, yesterday, I went over. I couldn't hear the music, so I just kind of kept talking. So I apologize for that. So thanks for supporting us. Thanks for basically for getting your multiple vitamins from us and all the other stuff you get from us. And thanks for listening. God bless. Austin, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, bud. And also, a heads up to everybody, product of the week looks like Cholesterol X and cinnamon extract have been tied neck and neck all week. So if you guys are interested in either one of those products going on sale, go ahead and vote for it, whether you want Cholesterol X or the cinnamon extract formula. They'll both be discounted pretty fairly tomorrow. So whichever one wins will be discounted. So pick which one you want. I've had quite a few people ask me. Obviously the Cholesterol X really helps out. It's got our polycosinol and magnesium formula in it. Very good for healthy HDLs and maintaining healthy cholesterol with a good diet. And, of course, the cinnamon extract is one of our best sellers, which really, really helps to promote healthy blood sugar. And what also people have found, including myself, is it does a very good job at burning body fat more efficiently when it's used in conjunction with exercise and a healthy diet, as it helps to utilize carbohydrates more efficiently, even in people that aren't having blood sugar or diabetic conditions. So it can be used by anybody across the board, man or woman, including anybody that has some type of blood sugar or if their blood sugar is healthy. Very, very good product for that. So just wanted to throw that out there for you guys. Today is the last day that the magnesium dead sea salts will be on sale. They're still on sale, I think, for 15. They're over 15% off still for one bag. So that's just an option. If you guys are interested in that, take advantage before it shuts down, before tomorrow wins. And, guys, we appreciate everything. If you need anything, give us a call, email us, try and stay on top of the emails the best I can. You know, we try and respond to everything. We're always on the phones here. We always answer everything eventually. Sometimes if you get called, you may get cut in the queue for a few minutes, but we always make sure we help everybody out the best we can. So we appreciate everything you guys do and support. And, so we'll be back on again tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday. So we'll be back on together with a good show. Hopefully, Dad will get good service like he had today, and we'll be able to keep him going because we definitely get a lot of good information. Both of us go back and forth. So you guys have a wonderful, blessed night, and I will see you guys again tomorrow.